Once again, it's your boy, it's your motherfucking boy, King Known Uncensored. We got more game ones of the second round of the NBA playoffs. We already talked about the Timberwolves, but we gonna get into game two of the Timberwolves game a little bit later. But man, this nigga Metro Boomin, man, has had a hell of a week. This man put out a diss beat called Bibiel Drizzy and put out a campaign for other niggas to get on the beat, and then the person that has the best song, they get a free beat from Metro Boomin. Wow. And then the beat is just going Bibiel Drizzy. Man, that shit is fucking hilarious, bro. Even though he had a high moment this week, he had a low moment too. A lot of Metro's old tweets started to get out there. A lot of Drake fans been doing research, I see. Because a lot of those tweets were Pedo Bryson. You over there clowning Drake for his shit, and you got a pedo pass too, my brother. No disrespect. Jim Jones, did y'all see Jim Jones beat up those two white people in that airport? Wow. I mean, don't get me wrong. Jim Jones ain't no bitch. He ain't no hoe ass nigga. And never has been. Don't let that Rucker Park shit fool you. Jim will put hands and fucking feet on you. This nigga grew up in Harlem, okay? This nigga ain't no hoe. So basically, I guess Jim Jones was being harassed in an airport by these two white people. And Jim picked the nigga up with one hand. You know, that nigga had one nigga in the air, about to mid-body slam, started punching the other nigga because they were both trying to jump on him. And then when the security came over, Jim was like, hey, you know what I mean? Hey, that ain't me. That's your man. And then, you know, the white folks were being, you know, typical white folks, yelling, cussing out the security. And Jim's like, you see? That's my favorite part of the whole shit. He was like, you see? You see they was trying to jump on me. You know what I'm saying? One-Eyed Willie. Goody goo goo gaga trying to jump on a nigga. Hold up! Yeah, man, but that shit was funny. Congratulations to Victor Wembanyama as he wins the Rookie of the Year officially. You know? This year he averaged 21 points per game, just under 11 rebounds, shot 46% from the field. This man averaged just under 4 blocks a game. And just under 4 assists per game. The sky's the limit for this kid. I feel like this, man. If Victor would have got the ball a little bit more, we could have got 25, 12, and 5. If he would have got the ball in the first quarter of the season and his teammates would have stopped hating and shooting the goddamn ball and shit. Man, he would have had a way better year. Even though my choice was Chet Holmgren because, you know, he made a big difference for that Oklahoma City team. San Antonio was just mid. You know what I'm saying? They weren't a really good team. But you already knew what time it is. This is another case of Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James, part 2. Even though Holmgren's numbers weren't gaudy and he's not the number one option on his team, I think that's what it really came down to. Oh, man. So, there was a drive-by shooting at Drake's house as his security guard was hit up. He was shot multiple times, taken to the hospital. He's still in serious condition. But, wow. Now, that's crazy. At first, I thought this was a mole, the mole that they found. But, I don't know. I'm not snitching or nothing. This ain't no snitch shit. But this ain't no detective shit. This ain't no First 48 shit. But I suspect this weekend. I ain't gonna front. How does a person know where the security for Drake is? They be going out like cats and dogs. Everybody saying Kendrick did it. Kendrick did it. But speaking of Kendrick, from all of the bloggers, from all of the, outside of OVO Gilly and OVO Mall, OVO, a majority of people feel that Kendrick Lamar won this beef. And there was a lot of reasons why he won. I mean, me personally, I feel like Kendrick Lamar won. I mean, he lyrically destroyed this dude and then made fun of him on what is believed is probably going to chart at number one. I mean, it's already number one at Apple right now. And his songs are selling more and his videos are getting more views. So we all know what would have happened if there was a sales battle between Kendrick and Drake. This is the thing, though. You notice Drake will compete with somebody that he knows he's better than. But when it's somebody on his level, he'll compete. He won't run. He's not a punk by no means necessary. But when the shit gets too thick, pause, he quits. And that's what I believe the Heart Part 6 was. People were disliking the video on YouTube simply because this nigga quit. Just like Jay quit. AKA J. Cole. Even though I understand why J. Cole ran. Because, nigga, Kendrick knows everything about this dude. They were really, really close. There's so many angles that you could go at with J. Cole. It's ridiculous. Just like with Drake. A lot of people are saying that I'm tired of people saying that what Kendrick is lying. No, he wasn't. Like, you could Google this information yourself. You can find this information yourself about Drake's possible secret children. He has at least one more other child, bro. And a lot of people have been on the internet digging, trying to find this child. There's some validity to it because it was actually reported in 2015 when he was fucking around with Rihanna. that there was a paternity suit with two women. One of the women, he took a paternity test and it wasn't his child. Now, the other one, they didn't really give no answer to. Which leads me to suspect that that nigga got another child, at least one more. And since he has a history of hiding children, but especially on Not Like Us, that nigga didn't lie. Drake does have some weird tendencies. A lot of the niggas in his crew are pedophiles and have sex assault cases. You know, and I also heard after the shooting incident, you know, those OVO niggas talked to police or whatever. I'm like, I would expect OVO niggas to talk to the police. They're not thugs or gangsters. There is no real G's in OVO. These are a bunch of guys that like the club and that like to party and like young bitches. Bunch of weirdos, if you ask me. But hopefully, speedy recovery to the security guard that got shot. Prayers go to you and your family. All right, so this is via Rick Bucher. Now, Rick Bucher is one of them ones. Like a Wojnarowski, like a Mark Stein, you know what I'm saying? Like a Sham Sharania. Rick Bucher reported that the Oklahoma City Thunder are a trade destination for Devin Booker if he loses patience with the Phoenix Suns. I mean, he has lost his patience. They've been to the finals before, never won. You had Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal. You're not going to win. You're stuck with Beal. And him going to Oklahoma City, it would be a wrap, but Devin Booker would never be respected for that move. It would be the equivalent to Kevin Durant going to Golden State. Like, you go to the number one team in the West without you. But who's to say OKC would accept that? However, though, OKC has a lot of cap space, and they can keep their entire core from Williams to Dort to the other Williams to Giddy to Hogan. They got the cap space and the picks. They got like 30 picks, so they can trade 5 first round picks to Phoenix straight up for Booker. And not lose any sleep about it. Be good for Booker, but not for the league, in my opinion. All right. So, Rudy Gobert. We got a lot to talk about on Rudy Gobert, but first, congratulations to Rudy Gobert as he wins the Defensive Player of the Year. This would be his 4th. Now, look, I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I don't like Rudy Gobert. I feel like he could be a much better player. But he in a situation now where he's the 3rd option. So it's not really that much pressure on him to be offensive. But Rudy Gobert was like a high pick. And you kind of expect a little bit more out of Gobert. But since the Timberwolves are, you know, the hottest team in the NBA, you know, Gobert's issues can be hidden. But I also feel like, you know,
more breaking news.
Sorry about that. Hold on. But my thing is, I feel like Victor Wembanyama got robbed of Defensive Player of the Year because Minnesota was the number one defense. They had multiple players. You saw the last game, and y'all saw the game without Rudy Gobert, and they were still a solid defense even without him. That showed me that Wembanyama was doing this shit by himself in San Antonio. And he was legit the only person on that team that was perimeter defense and interior defense, in my opinion. I feel like Victor Wembanyama got robbed. And then Wembanyama had better defensive stats than Rudy Gobert. Now, you know, despite me disagreeing with the Defensive Player of the Year award, Gobert has solidified his Hall of Fame case because now he's tied with Ben. And, what's his name? Dikembe Mutombo. With four. So they're definitely going to put him in the Hall of Fame, no matter how his numbers end up. I don't even think he's that great of a defensive player, to be honest. I just feels like he's a over, he is, what do I call it? Oh, he's just a shot blocker. That's all. He's a glorified shot blocker. Not a defensive player. I mean, he's not necessarily, like, defensively skilled. Like, he can't guard the perimeter. He's a great shot blocker, though. Like I said, he remind me of Theo Ratliff. And that's not to disrespect Rudy Gobert. I'm saying Theo Ratliff was a great shot blocker, but he wasn't a Defensive Player of the Year caliber player, though. And I don't think Rudy is. I think a lot of the defensive players that he won, I don't think he should have got. I think he should really only have one or two, in my personal opinion. I'm not his biggest fan. Congratulations to him, and this is pretty much locking up his Hall of Fame case easy. But staying with Rudy Gobert, so people were cooking Rudy Gobert for missing the game for his child. What? Is this his first kid? Okay, so he's a first-time father. I don't know, dog. I have a mixed opinion on that. Like, Draymond was talking shit. Cameron was talking shit. Gilbert Arenas, your anus, was talking shit. I mean, as a person that's not a father, you want to be there to witness your child's birth. You don't know when your lady is going to actually give birth. They probably wanted him to play the game and then come to where the child's at. But I understand the perspective that he wanted to be there when the child was born. I mean, that's his first kid. I think Gobert needs a pass for this. And then Minnesota still won without him, so it's not like they really needed him in that game. But me, personally, I don't knock him for missing the game. I understand it's the playoffs and all that, but niggas is acting like this is a game 7 that he missed. This game ain't important. It's a fucking road game. And it was clear that they did not need him. So I think that's kind of corny for all them niggas to criticize Gobert. I think that shit was wrong in my eyes. They acted like, oh man, the child gonna be there. It's his first one. I could see if he had 3-4 kids already and whatnot. But come on, man. Let that man live. Like I said, I'm not a Rudy Gobert supporter by no means. But come on, man. Dallas Mavericks coach Jason Kidd has signed a multi-year contract extension with the franchise. I'm not surprised. Not even a little bit. He deserves it. He earned it. And he turned that team from an all-offensive team to an offensive team that plays defense. Jason Kidd really turned this team around. Like, last year, they didn't even make the playoffs. This year, he not only made the playoffs, but they made it out of the first round of the playoffs. And beat a super team, the Clippers. So, shout out to Jason Kidd. And the Clippers are ready to give Tyronn Lue his contract extension. Now, he hasn't signed it yet, but they put the offer on the table. I'm pretty sure that Tyronn Lue is going to sign that contract extension. But do y'all notice that the Lakers are fucking tampering and poaching these coaches? Because they had Tyronn Lue and Jason Kidd as head coaching candidates for the Lakers. And I'm like, dog, they still on the team. Like, isn't that tampering to mention somebody's name without the permission to consent with the team that you're trying to take the coach from? I think that's tampering, y'all. Lakers should be fine as an organization. We have an update on Jared Allen. Like, he has this rib injury. He says it's difficult for him to sleep with that injury, let alone play with the injury. So they're saying that Allen could possibly miss games 1-4. And that's not a good sign. I mean, I like Evan Mobley and all that, but in order for Cleveland to have a puncher's chance, Jared Allen's got to be there. And for him to not possibly be there for the first 4 games, the Cavaliers are toast. But, yeah, Cleveland's in trouble. This is why I picked Boston to win in five, because they don't need Porzingis at all. But let's get to these games, man. Let's go. Other game ones, we got to the main event. Y'all been patiently waiting, just like a ace test. What's the result? Not positive. Who the best pot? Nas a big. Ain't no best. East, west, north, south. Law style, gritty. I embrace. Y'all know what the fuck it is. All right. Let's get to game one. Pacers and Knicks, as the New York Knicks defeated the Indiana Pacers 121-117 as New York takes a 1-0 lead. Yep, the Knicks defeated the Pacers 121-117. Let's get into it. If we gonna get into it. Let's look at the box scores. Miles Turner, 23 points. Pascal Siakam, 19 points. Tyrese Halliburton had a stinker, a complete stinker, horrible game. And that's crazy that this dude only had 6 points and 8 assists and 4 steals, but they only lost by 4. That's a testament to how good Indiana really is. But if Tyrese Halliburton, like 6 shot attempts is not going to do it. Like, Andrew Nembhard can't score more points than you. Obi Toppin at 12 points. TJ McConnell had 18 points. That cannot happen. Your backup point guard can't score more points than you. That's why you lost this game, Indiana. Indiana had the chance to steal one in New York, but their star player folded under pressure. Oh, man, New York, 5 niggas in double figures. Dante DiVincenzo, 25 points. Jalen Brunson continues his killing spree. 43 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Josh Hart, 24 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals. This is Mr. Everything. OG Anunoby, 13 points, 9 rebounds. The New York Knicks have the hearts of champions. I'm not going to lie. And that heart was just enough to beat a Pacers team that had them against the ropes in New York. Because it looked like Indiana was going to win that game, but somehow they just let it slip through their fingers. And I just blame Tyrese Halliburton for the Pacers losing this game. Single-handedly, your star player cannot have 6 points and his backup have 18. And y'all expect to win. But yeah, man, this is a great game, though. Oh, man. We can talk game two, Timberwolves and Nuggets, because I have a lot to say about this one. But the Minnesota Timberwolves steal home court completely from the defending champs as the Minnesota Timberwolves defeated the Denver Nuggets 106-80. Minnesota takes a 2-0 lead as they kick Denver's ass. Let's look at the box scores. Aaron Gordon, 20 points. Nikola Jokic, 16 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists. The most glaring note was Jamal Murray, 8 points, 13 rebounds, 3 of 18 shooting. That cannot happen. Jokic can't attempt 13 field goals. He got to attempt 20. And Murray attempt 15 to 20. Justin Holiday had 13 points off the bench. Karl Anthony Towns had an amazing first quarter. Masterclass performance. Easily his best playoff game. As Karl Anthony Towns had 27 points, 12 rebounds, 2 blocks. Anthony Edwards, 27 points, 7 assists. Look, mama, it's the devil. Naz Reid, 14 points off the bench. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, 14 points. This reminded me of, I believe it was game 3, when Nikhil Alexander-Walker, every shot he hit was just devastating. The same thing happened in this game. My thoughts on this game was, man, listen, I complain on this show, I complain on TikTok, I complain on YouTube about defense in the NBA and Minnesota being the number one defense, right? They had some possessions defensively as a team that impressed me. I was impressed by their number one defense. They were swarming. They made Jamal Murray uncomfortable. They made Michael Porter Jr. uncomfortable. They made Denver scared to go to the basket. They were blocking every shot. And they were doing this without Gobert. And Naz Reid was locking up Nikola Jokic. I mean, Nikhil and Jayden were putting Jamal Murray on clamps. And it got so bad. You know, don't get me wrong, the referees were calling horrible on both sides. The referees in this series in general have been ass. Is these the same guys from game 1? But this game was poorly called for both ends. But Minnesota forced so many turnovers, and they scored so many points off of turnovers, that it was just like, fuck it. But Jamal Murray went crazy. He spazzed out. First, he threw a heating pad onto the floor. You know, somebody could have tripped over that heating pad and got hurt. Then he threw something else onto the damn court. I think it was a towel. And Jamal Murray was promptly fined $100,000 for throwing the heating pad onto the floor. Even though me, personally, I felt like he should have been suspended one game. No Stephen A. snitch. No Stephen A. snitch. But that was very dangerous. And that was during while the game was going on. He threw it at a referee. He was trying to throw it at the referee, Mark Davis. Like, damn, you throwing shit at an official, my nigga? I don't know. I ain't gonna lie. He did deserve a one-game suspension. Not gonna cap. No Stephen A. snitch. No Stephen A. snitch. But the Denver Nuggets are in trouble. Shut down. And now you gotta go to the Target Center and get both games. Very difficult because Minnesota is undefeated in the entire playoffs. Now they get to go home. You got the home crowd. And the role players play better at home than they do on the road. It's scary hours for the defending champs. Do you think that the Denver Nuggets will get swept? Me, I don't think so. They're down 2-0, not 3-0. I still think that Denver has a chance to come back in this series. But however, they have the daunting task of having to steal a game at the Target Center, which I think they could do. But however, they got to be able to take those licks that Minnesota is hitting them with. Pause. They have to roll with the punches and get it done and stop being so scary and fight back. Because Denver's defensive as well. But I think Denver was shocked more so about Minnesota's team defense. I think that's what played the role in them losing. All right, let's move on to Wednesday's games as the Boston Celtics take a 1-0 lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers as the Boston Celtics defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers 120-95. Let's look at the box score. Donovan Mitchell wasted a 33-point, 6-rebound, 5-assist performance. Evan Mobley had 17 points and 13 rebounds. Darius Garland had 14 points. He was much better than he was last game, but it wasn't enough. Look at Boston. Jaylen Brown, 32 points. Jason Tatum, 18 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Shot 7 of 19, 0 of 5 from 3. But Jaylen Brown had his back. And so did Derek White with 25 points and 5 assists. Drew Holiday, 14 points. Peyton Pritchard, 16 points off the bench. Nobody came and helped Donovan Mitchell. No one came to the aid of Donovan Mitchell. And honestly, I ain't trying to be disrespectful, but I wouldn't be surprised if Boston actually swept Cleveland. Like, they're missing Jared Allen, who's their second best scorer, because Garland's been mid. Like, Darius Garland has to score more than 14 points if Cleveland's got a chance at winning any games in this series. I honestly think they're going to get maybe game 4 in Cleveland, and Boston goes ahead and gentlemen sweep these guys, because this is such a poor mismatch. I told y'all, Boston got a cakewalk to the Eastern Conference Finals. Possibly a cakewalk through the entire East, since Milwaukee is eliminated, Philadelphia was eliminated. I view those teams as the biggest threats. And the Miami Heat's eliminated, so I felt like they were the biggest threats to Boston. Another blowout. Another game one blowout. As the Oklahoma City Thunder defeated the Dallas Mavericks 117-95 and take a 1-0 lead over the Mavs. Luka Doncic, 19 points, 6 of 19 from the field, 1 of 8 from 3. Oklahoma City's defense put the clamps on, buddy. I knew this wasn't going to be an easy series for the Mavericks. I did pick the Mavs in 7, respectfully. I do respect that the Oklahoma City Thunder is a number one seed, and they're not going out like no bitches. Kyrie Irving, 20 points. Shot it much better. 7 of 14, 3 of 4 from 3. I feel like Kyrie should have gotten the ball a little bit more. But Luka playing this type of game is not acceptable, especially with you being the leader. 16 points, 11 rebounds for Daniel Gafford. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander almost fucked around and got a triple-double. 29 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. Chet Holmgren, 19 points. The other Jalen Williams, 11 points, 9 rebounds. Aaron Wiggins, 16 points off the bench. Damn. The story of the game was Jalen Williams. He put that dog. Yeah, Jalen Williams always barks like a dog, and I see why. He is a dog. Big dog shit. Like, that nigga was ballin'. Yeah, J. Jalen Williams had 18 points, but that dude was balling, hit big shots. He was the complete X factor. You know Shea's gonna do his shit. We know Chet Holmgren's gonna do his shit. But I'm very disappointed in the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are much better than what they're showing. I believe that game two, they'll get their shit together. But I'm not sure if they're gonna win game two. But I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas stole game two. But Luka's gotta take better shots and involve Kyrie more. Because Luka and Kyrie combining for 39 points is not gonna get it done. But alright, y'all. I'ma get the fuck up out of here, man. It's your boy, it's your motherfucking boy, King Known Uncensored. Game one talk, and I'm gone.